Welcome back to The Gathering Podcast, a ministry of First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas. My name is Ken Weatherford, Director of Worship Arts here at the church. This week, I'm working alongside our associate pastor, Reverend Eric Meyer. Welcome to week three of our worship series, Walking with God. We continue to explore the Gospel of Luke and themes from the movie The Way, a journey on the Camino de Santiago. This week, our podcast is uniquely broken out into three different homilies. We hope you enjoy.
Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and just then there appeared a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
One of the challenges that I have with Scripture is that often the women who play important roles are left unnamed. So today we're going to give her a name, add a little bit of humanity to this story. Her name was Mary. And Mary, for 18 years, had been suffering a disease. We don't know what. Osteoporosis, maybe. Rheumatoid arthritis. Something crippling. And for 18 years, Mary had been coming to the synagogue every day and praying. Often, she'd just sit in the presence of God and enjoy a safe place. And then she'd begin to pray. But she didn't pray for what you might expect. She wasn't praying for herself. Oh, no, she'd been suffering from this ailment for so long now that it was just a way of life. No, she prayed for the people in the community. It was her job. And as she came to the synagogue today, she was doing the same thing that she did. It was her work. But as she came to work, the people that ran the synagogue no longer saw her. Even though she was there every day, they didn't see her at all. When she first started coming, they did see her, and they'd see her and say, "I wonder what she did to deserve this kind of punishment." For obviously, God must be punishing her because of some terrible sin. And they'd gossip about her for a while over lunch, but as the years passed, they just stopped seeing her. And today, as she comes to work, to worship on the Sabbath, she's amazed at how many people are in the sanctuary. Oh yes, that guy Jesus. And she comes in, and she doesn't think much about this guy Jesus. He's just another guy, because she's been old for a very long time. And she's seen the prophets come, and she's seen the prophets go, and she's seen the so-called messiahs come, and she's seen the so-called messiahs go. And she figured, if this guy Jesus is anything special, well, the truth will come in the proof of his being, if he actually lives as a messiah. So we'll see, she says. And she walks in, and Jesus sees her. And he waves and catches her eyes. In those eyes, something about those eyes. This is the first person she's ever seen that simply lives with no anxiety. Somebody who simply is a calm and peaceful presence in the eye of this storm. Something about those eyes tells her all of that. And then he motions to her, waves her over. And at first she tries to pretend like she doesn't see, and then he calls out, "Woman, come here." And you could have heard a pin drop as the dozens, maybe hundreds, people crammed into the sanctuary stop what they're doing and watch. And the only sound in the sanctuary is the sound of her feet as they shuffle and the sound of her canes on the limestone. And she gets to the chair and she collapses into the chair with this look of relief, like, whew, I made it without falling again. One more day. Thank you, God, for this mercy. Thank you for this blessing, a gift that I didn't fall. And Jesus smiles at her and he says, what's your name? And she says, Mary. And he says, Mary, tell me your story. And she starts to, but then she stops and she realizes, as the tear starts to dribble down the side of her face, this is the first time anybody has ever asked her to share their story. Mary, what's your story? Maybe the most beautiful words she's ever heard. And she starts to tell Jesus about how she comes to work. And she says, don't tell the synagogue leaders. They think I'm here praying, but I'm actually here working. I'm praying for everybody in the community. And she starts naming off all of the people because she knows everybody there. She knows all of the babies, and she prays for every one of them by name. And as she says their names, they are convicted. Yes, they are being judged. The woman that they had disregarded for all of these years knows their name and prays for them each by their name every day. And oh, do they feel guilty. Jesus puts his hand on her shoulder and he says, Mary, you've prayed for so many people. Can I pray for you? And she just nods her head. And he says, beautiful daughter of Abraham. Blessed child of God, may you receive God's best gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. And as he says this, he can feel the Holy Spirit coursing through his body, the heat that he always feels, this incredible heat flowing through his hands. And he just starts to laugh. And he says, Mary, you are healed. Stand up. And she does. And she doesn't say, thank you, Jesus. She says, thank you, God. She rejoices. Thank you, God. Which is interesting because the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the leaders of the synagogue want to challenge Jesus for healing her. When she knows the truth, God has healed her and she is praising God and dancing in front of everyone. And I wonder what burdens we all come here today carrying. Burdens that might feel like they are crippling us. Burdens of guilt. Burdens of pain, burdens of worry. Those are the stones that we can hold on to. And maybe, just maybe, those burdens can become a gift.
Let us listen for the gift of Scripture as we continue this story. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day." But the Lord answered him and said, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be set free from this bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the crowd was rejoicing at all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Every week, I start to put the final touches on what I want to say during the week. And I say final touches because Ken and I generally start months out. In fact, what we're doing today started about a year ago, as we planned out where we wanted to go, went on a retreat for several days. And then every week we come together and we talk about how the plan is coming together and how we're going to bring it together for the coming week. And as I was meditating on this scripture, I start usually on Sunday nights, and it's amazing, but I truly believe it is a gift. Often during the week, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. It might not sound like a gift, but it is. I wake up wide awake with something flowing through my mind, and I can't turn it off. And often, it's a foundation for what becomes the sermon for the week. And this past Sunday night, Monday morning, about 2 o'clock in the morning, wide awake in the words, "We cannot give if we have not received. We cannot offer God unless we have experienced God," ringing clear as a bell in my mind. And I wasn't sure what to do with that. And as I always do on Monday mornings, we sit down with Ken for the first 3 hours of the day or so, and we work through what we're going to do. And Ken lays this song by Matt Redman down and says, "Eric, listen to these words," as I offered him the words that I had heard. "We've come, we have nothing to give that didn't first come from your hands. We have nothing to offer you which you did not first provide." And I know as we sing those, some of us hear the truth of those words, but I also know as we sing those, some of us are saying, "I have nothing to give. I feel like dried up flour. There's nothing in me. There's no life in me. I feel like I have nothing to give." And those are terrible words, but they are also completely untrue words. We have all been given incredible gifts. We just need to reframe the way we look. You see, the story that we just heard, that Rebecca told us, is seen by the same group of people in very different ways. Some of the group is left rejoicing, and some of the group is filled with anger. And often, when we go to Scripture, we take with it preconceived notions, and as we interpret Scripture, that interpretation says more about who we are than it says about who God is. Let me reframe the Scriptures for today through the lens of the parable that Jesus offers. For the last few weeks, I've been demonstrating how Luke often gives us a statement from Jesus, and then he puts a parable right behind it. And the parable is the key to unlocking that statement. In a moment, you're going to hear the parable of the yeast and the dough. We say yeast, but the Jewish people had no idea what yeast was. People at this time had no idea that there was this organism called yeast. What they had was leaven. And the actual Greek word is, a woman took leaven and mixed it with 3 measures of flour until all of the flour was leavened. And then Jesus says, "This is what the kingdom is like. To what shall I compare the kingdom? It's like yeast or leaven." Leaven is the stinky stuff in the jar in every kitchen, and everybody knows that it's this fermenting mess that's sticky and smelly and bubbly and frothy. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is like that mess, or stone ground dried flour with no moisture. We both have that gift. We all have that mess or that stone dryness. We just don't know that it's a gift yet. But as it comes together through the living water of the Holy Spirit, maybe, just maybe, dough will be formed. And the yeast comes alive. And the bread of life starts to rise.
The final scripture this morning comes to us in the Gospel of Luke 13, verses 18 through 21. He said, "Therefore, what is the kingdom of God like? And to what should I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what should I compare the kingdom of God? It's like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour, until all of it was leavened." This is the gift of Scripture for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Take my heart and make it clean. Open my eyes to the things unseen. We are starting to see Tom and Sarah's eyes open to the things unseen. Tom, who, if he ever thought about God at all, thought of a mean God, a God who had killed his son instead of saving him. Tom's angry at God. Doesn't think there's much of an iota of truth in the image of God for Tom. But things start to change. And as he opens his heart on this journey to those he's walking with, as he starts to tell a story that he's hidden from the beginning of the trip, he starts to share his story with the writer, Jack. And Jack, who has writer's block, is receiving a tremendous gift. But who is receiving the greatest gift? The one receiving the story or the one telling the story? And Jack, as he stands watching Sarah, try to say a prayer that she's written, but she can't get it out, realizes that he is in a holy place. And a man who hasn't thought much about God takes off his hat because he realizes this is holy ground. And they start releasing their stones on a pile that is 1,500 years old. People have been doing this ministry, doing this healing service for 1,500 years as they've walked at the Camino. And every year, a group of people comes and takes away some of the memorabilia and prayers that are left so that they can refresh the pile for the next year. And every year, thousands and thousands more stones are released, burdens released. And Sarah has a burden to release. She has a burden that she bears. Maybe her burden is partly her image of God, a God that is going to punish her for what she has done. And so we all bring to Scripture ourselves first. We all wear lenses that are crafted from who we are when we read Scripture. And she sees God as a judgmental, angry God that's going to punish her because of her sins. There are other ways to read Scripture. There are other lenses to wear. The lens that I prefer is God is just, and God is fair, and God forgives. Because this is what we are told throughout the beginning of Scripture. Every single one of the prophets tells the people of Israel, come and return to God. And if you return to me, I will forgive you and I will bless you and I will heal you. Every one of the prophets says this. Jesus himself, in the section of Luke we are in, says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who stone and kill the prophets, oh, how I've longed to call you underneath my arm, underneath my wings, as a mother hen protects her chicks. But you would not come to me. That is the image of God that all of Scripture offers us if we just use that set of lenses. But Sarah doesn't see that way yet. She can't see. She can't even get the prayer out that she's been praying. It's as if that yeast, that leaven, that sticky, gooey mess that she's been hiding behind her masks is stuck to the mask, and she can't even tear it off as she stands on that pile of stones. She wants to, but she can't, and all she can do is get the first words of the prayer out as she offers her stone. But Tom has been moved. Maybe his heart is soft, and maybe he's being transformed. He takes the prayer that she has written, the crumpled up piece of paper, and he walks up onto the pile of stone, and he doesn't just read her prayer. It becomes his prayer. And the two of them joined together, dry, dusty flour, Tom, and messy, leaven, Sarah, in that moment, blessed with prayer, the Holy Spirit, the living water, combines the ingredients, and we see the bread begin to rise, the dough, the gift of life, bread of life that comes from all of the messiness and the dryness mixed with the Holy Spirit comes alive in this moment. And Tom, who has been hiding behind his mask, the fact that he's releasing the ashes of his son a little bit at a time. He's afraid to let anybody see what he's doing, and we see he is being healed. When he does the next releasing of his son's ashes in front of all of his friends, and they offer a cheers, a praise, yes, Tom, we are with you. Offer to you the fact that we are seeing the bread of life coming from the messiness. We are seeing God's kingdom come.
Thanks again for joining us this week. If you're in the Northwest Arkansas area, we invite you to come join us for worship at First United Methodist Church in downtown Bentonville, Arkansas, with multiple services each Sunday morning at 8:45, 9:45, and 11 a.m. Grace and peace, y'all.